Welcome back to Signals on 91.3 Lagos Talk. So, that's why I'm laughing. This morning we'll be looking at taxes, prices, pricing and prices, and cost of living. Oh, okay. I have someone joining me shortly. Sorry now, sorry, I'm ready. Now, within the week, they had this cybersecurity tax that looked like they'll be removing every of our 10,000. Right? I think they're trying to put a little bit of hold on it, but it just sort of, and that's the conversation I want us to have this morning. You know what even got me? What got me laughing is when some of the things that came out in the news within the week says that POS people, the POS operators, should have CAC certificates by June 7. If I'm right, and I'm wondering, I don't know. It's either when they sit down to plan policies, right? They are not thinking of us. If they were thinking of us, they would know that. Because there's so many POS operators, right? And I'm wondering, they should also have CAC certificates. Good, bad. That's one. Number two, I'm trying to look for trouble. Number two, can we reduce the tax burdens on Nigerians? That's conversation. Can we reduce the tax burdens on Nigerians? One. Number two, the pricing, the levies, the cost of living. If the income is not going up, why should the pricing and cost of living be high? I'll come back and we'll have a proper conversation. I'm coming. Hello, Ayo Adio. Thank you for joining me this morning. Ayo Adio is a public analyst and speaker. Please, let me see your face first. Show your face. See my face. Please now. First. See, you know, your man used to say that, Ojulorowa. I'm trying to look for trouble this morning, and you're the best person to save me out of it. Right? This week has been one levy. One levy to another. So it means that while they're still trying to work on that cyber security tax, which, oh no, what do you think about it first? Hello.
Well, honestly, I think it wasn't such a smart thing to push at this point.
You always has the right word to use.
Seriously aligned with what the National Assembly have said.
Okay.
They have argued, or in fact they have even issued a resolution to the CBN governor to essentially withdraw the circular that was circulated on Monday. Okay. I think that's the sensible thing to do because the so-called policy lacked clarity. And if you read the act that established that particular provision, you would see that the CBN actually overstepped
their boundaries,
overreached the provision. So the levies were supposed to have been for telecommunications companies, banks, the Security Exchange Commission, and I think one other organization, I can't recall over the top of my head, but it was supposed to be for major private organizations and, of course, for a regulator, that is the Security and Exchange Commission. But for some reason, the circular somehow gave the notion that every Nigerian was supposed to pay that particular levy as an individual, as a small business, you know, as a growing SME. You know, that would have amounted to about 3 trillion if you computed the figures together, which was supposed to be administered by the Office of the National Security Advisor. Now, what that means, obviously, is that the CBN was collecting those monies to be administered and, of course, executed by the Office of the National Security Advisor, which means that you and I, when you ask for accountability of how those sums were disbursed or the expenditures, you easily can be shrugged off when they tell you that it's for security matters and you have no, they can't divulge national security secrets. And so what means is that, you know, 3 million is going to be controlled by one individual with very little supervision and very little accountability. You know, and that for me, given the record of public servants in Nigeria, I think it's not quite a sensible thing to do. And if you looked at what the average Nigerian is going through at this point in time and the amount of levies and taxes that he has to deal with just from his bank alone, just the bank alone, the amount of taxes that you have to pay, SMS account servicing and all sorts of nonsense that you have to pay on just your bank alone, not to talk of the other levies that you have to deal with, you know, in your interactions, whether at the local government level or at a state level. So the truth is that the average Nigerian is overburdened with taxes at a time where he's dealing with dwindling income and purchasing power. So really and truly, it doesn't make any sense to tax people whose incomes have shrunk over the last few years. And those incomes have shrunk not by their own doing, but deliberate policies of government that has impacted negatively on businesses and individuals. So it appears that the government seems to want to continuously pass that burden of incompetence to citizens to say that I have failed to grow the economy, I have failed to increase wages, I have failed to create enough employment opportunities. But guess what? You also would have to still bail us out of this by bearing the burden while we continue to live and enjoy the largesse of government, while we continue to buy brand new SUVs, while we continue to fly first class and private, while we continue our international tours and seminars and programs and collect our ESTA codes, like nothing has changed. So essentially, you have a country that is servicing
itself.
If it was servicing itself, it was good. You are servicing the cravings of an elite class and their interest, basically. So it just works for a very narrow and tiny elite class. Okay. And every other person has to grapple or get on a plane and head to Canada or the United Kingdom.
Okay, so while people are leaving, there was something you said that I wanted us to touch a little bit on. If the NSA is saying that they need for security, because you mentioned security, and they are taking money from you and I, it begs to question what has been going on with the reserves of the Nigerian Reserve. Don't we have security fund, right? That it means that they have to squeeze you and I with the money that is not enough, right, to take care of the country. Because I'm looking at the thought process that went through that. Can't we reduce the tax burdens? I know in some countries they used to have tax holiday. When will Nigerians have tax holiday? Ayo.
So I think there's a constitutional argument to have on both sides. Now, firstly, you can make the argument that citizens typically in constitutional democracies give up a certain degree of their rights and privileges to the government in exchange for security. In fact, the reason you actually have a government, the primary purpose of government, even as defined by major constitutional democracies, is security and welfare of citizens. that really and truly is the essence of government, because without that,
mm-hmm.
you know, citizens can govern themselves, but you outsource or you give up your rights, and citizens across the country give up their rights in exchange for security and welfare. So to that extent, you cannot say that the citizens who are giving up their rights, you know, and setting privileges for you to protect them, you now still have to come back to those citizens
to collect from them
for security. But you see, the other side of the argument, obviously,
yeah,
is that government raises revenue to govern from taxation.
Okay.
And so really and truly, you tax citizens so that you can construct roads, right? You tax citizens so that you can build you know, bridges, refineries, hospitals, schools, and all of that. So the funds that you get to run government is essentially from citizens, and you get that by taxation. The problem here is that taxes, when you tax citizens, is based on a social contract. And in every contract, both parties have responsibilities, you know, towards fulfilling the terms of those contracts. The problem that we have had in Nigeria over time is that social contract is broken. And so over time, government hasn't lived up to its own part of the bargain, and essentially no longer has the legitimacy to want to force more taxes down our throats. Because I'd like you to think about this for a second, to say that in the last 40 years...
Where has our taxes gone to?
Exactly. We have not solved any major social problem in Nigeria, whether it's water running from your taps, potable water, or citizens running from your taps.
Or good roads, good street roads.
Roads, whether it's public education, whether it's public health, whether it's national security. So you'll see that no single major public service
has happened.
You can't rely on the government, you know, to supply any major public good efficiently and effectively. And that's a complete failure, you know, of government over the years. And so that social contract is broken inadvertently. So what we have now is a situation where you really and truly, especially when, like I had argued earlier on, purchasing powers have dwindled, incomes have stagnated, and people are barely struggling to survive. I can tell you for free that a lot of what I'll call lower middle income earners cannot drive to work every day of the week.
No, not at all.
Because you are going to be working for petrol stations, really and truly.
Yes.
That means you fuel your car averagely for close to 200,000 naira a month. And if you're paying 200,000 naira to fuel one car alone, aside from petrol in your house, then exactly what are you working for? So you have people who sleep in their offices.
Oh, yes.
You know, the office on Monday, and they sleep and come back on Friday. You know, some of them sleep in their cars. So the kind of sacrifices that people have to make, the discomfort, the inconvenience that people have to pass through to deal with a poor economy that was not of their own making, then you now want to, exacerbate that by increasing tax burden. I just don't think it makes any sense.
So some will argue that if they are not collecting tax, where should they get money from?
So you see, that again, this is why I talk about priorities and low-hanging fruit. The primary problem that we face as a country, whether you talk of exchange rates, the exchange rate crisis, and why our currency continues to lose value against the dollar, or where we don't seem to have enough resources to fund, you know, public services. The primary problem is that we are not producing enough oil, right? So we have a quota of 1.9 million barrels of oil per day. Of that 1.9 million barrels of oil per day, we're literally doing about 1.2 million. That means we're 700,000 barrels of oil per day short, right? Now, of the 1.2 million that we're already producing, which is already 700,000 barrels of oil short, of that 1.2 million, 400,000 barrels of oil are already tied to low repayment obligations, right? So we're not even making anything from that 400,000, right? So they're tied to loan repayments. So what you're left with essentially is about 800,000 barrels of oil per day. Now, I hope you know that those entire sum does not accrue to the Federation account. You have joint ventures agreements with certain oil companies that also take a percentage out of that sum. So when you drill down and you account for oil theft in the Niger Delta, you're left essentially with peanuts. And that is the primary problem that we are facing. And what I'd like to see is that all the efforts, right, all the capabilities of government should be first focused on dealing with the elephant in the room, which is that we are not maximizing our oil wealth. We have to increase production drastically, because if we don't do that, our exchange rates will continue to work against us. We'll not have enough resources to implement in public, you know, centered projects, and we'll continue to grapple really and truly. And the second problem, of course, is the national security problem, especially in the northern part of the country and in food production centers. If you are not producing because farmers cannot go to farm, or because, you know, after they go to farm, they have to pay excessive levies non-state actors.
Cattle tax.
That is why we now have to deal with 40% of food inflation. That's essentially why. And so when you have 40% food inflation, it means you're dealing with a hunger or a severe food crisis across the country. Many people cannot afford to feed as regularly as they should. People who have relatively large families, that's, you know, you have 4 or 5 children, you're in real trouble, really and truly. So these two issues are the major problems that we have. And because, you see, government does not have the resources to pursue too many things at the same time. Neither does it have strategic advantages in all sectors at the same time. So government always has to prioritize because it has limited resources and limited capabilities. And so the state, which is the Nigerian state now, has to prioritize on these two important sectors, because if we fix the problem there, many of these things that we're dealing with will ease off, you know, over the next couple of months. But I see that we seem to be chasing shadows. We're trying to do too much at the same time, and we're taking on policies that are sometimes counterproductive. And there's a lack of coherence, you know, sometimes between monetary policy and fiscal policy, and even within fiscal policy in itself. So there's a lot of incoherence, and, you know, that sends, it continues to send negative signals to the people that you're trying to even attract to your economy at the end of the day.
Okay, so even before we attract the foreigners into the country, because a lot of them have left, is apart from oil, apart from the security, how then can we cut down waste so much so that it doesn't even affect you and I's income? Because there's so much waste in government that if we look at all the waste, because earlier on you spoke about SUVs, all of those things, if we cut down the human waste alone, it should not affect your income or my income or somebody who's listening, their income. Because income, how much is somebody says, I needed for within the week, and they said it was 605 naira per liter. And then we bought two kegs, 60 liters. It did not even reach anywhere in the car. And we were both looking at one another, myself and the person. We're like, where are we going to?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of waste, you know, both at the federal, state, and local government. A whole lot of waste. And if we can block these leakages, and most importantly, if you can curtail the appetite of politicians, then really and truly we'd have a lot more funds freed up, you know, to go into more productive sectors of the economy. But you have a lot of politicians who, on the one hand, are either chasing white elephant projects that are really and truly about their egos and kickbacks, or they are just literally putting their hands in the cookie jar, you know, to fund an ostentatious or outlandish lifestyle.
But Ayo, let's even, Ayo, sorry. So the politician, let's just play a devil's advocate here. The politician is saying that, okay, I've collected money to do this project, but the people around me, the community around me is saying, bring the money, let's share the money.
But you have to define what you mean by the community, because, you know, sometimes we run foul of overgeneralization, because you are also a community. I'm not sure you're calling for people to share money, isn't it? So, yes.
I'm sharing knowledge.
The political elite have been clever in building a support base that excuse, you know, their excesses, if you'd like.
Mm.
So they always have that, you know, supporters club that will always beat drums of praises for them. And they seem to be the loudest in the room. And that makes you assume, you know, that that's the prevailing sentiment in whatever community. But that really and truly is not the case. And you see, maybe because of our religious leanings as a country, you know,
God will provide.
We like to go to church, we like to go to mosque, and over the years we seem to believe, and in some instances rightly so, but there's this overwhelming belief that progress comes from God and God alone, right? And so rather than hold your government to account,
you hold God accountable.
He seemed to want to pray and fast to God.
No, that's you hold God accountable, and God will tell you that. Didn't that give you common sense?
Exactly. So it's not a bad thing to pray and hope for blessings from God. I mean, that's a good thing to do. But you also have duties, you know, to the state that you belong to, and if you fail in those duties, it means instead of you fasting, you know, there are different kinds of fasting. There's a fasting where you can fast without just eating salt in your food. You call it white fasting. So if you're holding government to account, you see, all you would have to deal with are those very light kind of fasting where you do fruits. But if you're not holding government to account, you have to be doing biribiri where you would fast, you know, 14 days without food and water. You have to roll on the ground. You have to go for. So you take a lot more responsibility on yourself when really and truly you can hold government to account for certain things. Now, when you talk about holding government to account, people think that it's just about going to the streets and protesting. Now, of course,
I was expecting that would have been some protest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people think, you see, protests are good, right? And, you know, it's an opportunity to register your grievances, you know, in the public square. And for government, who perhaps may be pretending not to know the reality of the situation they have put you in, once they see you on the streets, there is no pretending any longer that the people are angry and are struggling to cope with the current situation, right?
Yes.
And so by that, you'd expect governments to act quicker and faster. Unfortunately, we are so
immune,
divided as a country along ethnic and religious lines, such that it is very difficult to galvanize a nationalist resistance towards executive excesses or recklessness or impunity. So, for instance, if the person in power is from the north, and you try to lead a protest, for instance, it's so easy to sow the seeds of discord. Yes. Somebody will just tell you, I mean, you know, are you going to allow this happen to your brother? These people, they have an ulterior motive. They want to get your brother out and put their own person in. And so that's how it works. And so at the end of the day, you really and truly cannot galvanize a collective agitation towards, you know, political recklessness in this country. And that's why we're trapped, you know, where we are. And so the alternative, really and truly, which I have always argued, is that we have to fix local
levels, local government levels,
and local government elections. Now, the problem is that you cannot elect people at the local level, people at the local level, because that system has been hijacked by politicians. And so you have a situation where the governor, if he's PDP, APC, or APGA in a particular state, will ultimately determine who emerges as chairman in all the local governments and councillors. What that does is that it stifles creativity and innovation. And because, you see, again, many of the solutions that work in developed societies were tested at a local level. And because it worked at the local level, it scaled at a statewide level and perhaps nationally, right?
Mm, yeah.
So you had politicians that had tried things at a local level and have fixed problems at a local level, and those ideas exported to the national.
Mm.
Unfortunately, because there is no pipeline of leadership being built from local governance in Nigeria, you have people experimenting at the top. So the people you elect at the top really have not had the luxury of either experimenting ideas themselves at the local level or have experiences to borrow from at the local level to export to the national.
So
that's why I'm struggling. So I believe we can fix the process by which leaders emerge at the local level. You would have better quality of leadership dealing with local problems, and that will grow the faith of citizens who now see things work at a local government, to say that if this can work in my community,
it can work elsewhere.
Because we have a competent administrator, it means if we have a competent administrator at a state level, my state will work better. And it means if we have a competent administrator at a national level, my country would work better. The problem you have, my sister, is that people have not experienced what it means to have good governance at any level.
No, so, just pause. We've not had, for want of word, we've not had competent, constant administrators, that one is leaving, another one is coming and continues the work they have done. And then you can see track record back to back. We haven't had that in a while.
Which is the problem. So you don't expect people who haven't seen or experienced what it means to have a social contract that work to believe that, you know, it is possible for democracies to work in their interest.
Okay.
Really and truly. And really, that's why you see there's a lot of, there's a rise of a lot of non-state actors across the country, because the state has failed to deliver on its basic promise to secure the lives of citizens and to provide welfare. And since the state had failed in that regard, you have a lot of non-state actors rising across the country, and the tool of negotiation has become violence. It's too much violence across the country, too much criminality, and this is it's largely because of the failure, you know, of the state.
Okay, then. Thank you so much, Ayo. Thank you so, so much. I drag you again. I'll come back, drag you. Right, the signals on 91.3, and we've been discussing with Ayo Adio, who is a public analyst and commentator. Ayo, please, I want you physically in the studio. I'm not doing this Zoom. Right, if you have questions, comments for him, send us a WhatsApp message on 0809-234-5913. I'll come back to you shortly, Ayo, before I wrap up the program. I have with me William Benson. With carry that mic down first. Then that reminds me, I have been thinking of Daddy Tommy since last week. You didn't send us your message. You didn't send us a WhatsApp message. I was thinking about him all through the week, and then I was waiting that he was going to send a WhatsApp message. Has this viewing been like?
Yeah, it's been great. Hopefully, we'll get better, especially today. And most of the people that won the tickets on station came.
Okay, I still remaining that man, yo. That one is very dear to my heart. And then to everyone who puts in a good work with Jam, hopefully, we're not going down that route. So today is the final viewing.
Yes, today is the final viewing, 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. Musan Center, Ajib Recital Hall.
I hope that I will carry myself down. I hope that I will carry my
son about 4 hours.
That is how many syllables?
That's me. Cut it down, break it.
1, 2.
Oba, Ovorawe.
1, 2, 3.
Ovorawe.
4.
No, ba is.
Wait, where are we?
4.
So the question.
You know that we Africans, we are syllabically inclined when it comes to what we say. The same way we pronounce it is the same way we spell it. But the British are time stressed.
That's not our fault. That one is our mother tongue. Please, I beg. If you like, let the name be long. It's our own. Well, if you have questions, comment, you can call us. We're still discussing with Ayo, who's with us. Nigeria. Nigeria will almost give you a palpitation, right? Because you begin to wonder, oh Lord, you know when words fail you. Now, Ayo, before I let you go, and then I bring you in. Ayo, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm.
Better be with me, mighty Lord. Nisuru is the final question, the final conversation before I wrap up is, what would be better? Where, because the recent, is it the union, labor union? Is it labor union? Yes, labor union. They want to increase the income, the minimum wage from 35 to 615,000. And even when I saw that news, I knew that that was a joking matter. But let me hear your thoughts on it.
Well, of course, they also know that it's not realistic, but it's just a negotiation tool.
But why do we think it's not realistic? 615.
They know that they can't get it, but that's a way to negotiate, right? Okay. So that you're not going to price me tiny. You're not going to tell me you're going to move minimum wage from 30,000 naira to 50,000 naira. So they are coming with an outrageous figure and pretend to be standing on that figure, so that they can negotiate better. It's basic negotiation tactics, and so they are not stupid, right? And I want Nigerians to understand one simple fact and to know where their interest lies. And it bears repeating, because I see that every time labor unions are trying to make an effort, we try to castigate them.
Oh, yes.
Every time.
Oh yes.
You are much better aligning with labor unions than you are with politicians. It's a lesson I don't know why Nigerians are not learning.
Because over the years, we've seen that we feel that they back and don't pull through. That's why we're not trusting.
Do you want these people to fight for you who do not care?
No, they should fight for us.
These people also have families.
And then they will tell them that they should keep quiet.
Put their lives on the line for Nigerians who will abandon them the next minute. So we sit down in our houses and expect people to carry our struggles to the very end.
It's not possible.
These people stood, they've been jailed,
they've been slapped, they've been beaten.
They stood up to presidents, and we just sit in our houses and say they sold out. What do you mean by they sold out? How do you mean by they sold out in the first instance? I want you to imagine for a second that if the labor unions, for instance, we're not fighting for better minimum wages now, who will be doing it? Me. So your interests, when people say align interests, it doesn't mean that you agree with everything that the group says.
Okay.
It just means that at a fundamental level, your interests align at some point. The APC, that was a merger between the CPC and the ACN, their political ideologies opposed each other for many years.
True.
But they had a common interest at some point, and they merged to form a political party that grabbed power. Right?
Yes.
And politicians know how to put
everybody's
gains aside for their interest to work and work across party lines. But I see Nigerian people always looking for perfect situations. There are no perfect situations. You just have to look for where your interests are best served. And so if we keep castigating labor unions, if we keep saying, you know, these people are criminals, they are that, they are this, it means you are surrendering yourselves to politicians. And you know how that ends at the end of the day.
Yes, we do.
The same politicians that have pauperized you over the years, that you have no reason. Do you know what it means to go through the Sahara Desert to get to Italy and to Europe? The pain and the trauma that you have to go through. I know people who went through that were deported and went back again through the Sahara. So it means your country must be hell.
for them to have gone through that road.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, for you to have gone through that road.
So are you saying that you would rather go through the Sahara than align with a labor union? Is that what you're saying to me? No.
So let's not even raise that up, because
so we have to stop this search for perfect situations and find where your interests are best aligned, and your interests are best aligned with unions that will ensure that you have work security, that will ensure that you have decent wages. You know, and that will protect workers' interests. It's as simple as ABC.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I had to let you go. My time is up. I hope we should do this again. At least it's very good, because you look at people. I look at the queues. It's worrisome. I know sometimes when they call me, that fellow as well, I'm like, you should leave me alone first. Leave me. And much more to other people. I really just want a country that works. And that for me is very important. If it works, then we'll not have to go through the Sahara, because people are going through it every now and then. And it's so funny how they are so happy to want to do it. And I'm wondering, Koleto, you know, like, it's not supposed to be hard like this. Anyway, back to you. Do you want that? Just don't stress me. Just share that mic together. Ayo, thank you so much. Thank you very much. So what should we expect today that is final?
So today that is final, the rising sun of
you. Yeah, even tired already. You want it to be over?
No, I don't want it to be over. We have the kind of support we need.
Don't worry, labor union is coming to come.
As in, they will come and root for us. Anyway, we have Jerry Adebayo in the house.
Hello, hi.
He's Olobose, one of the chiefs in the play.
Now, let me quickly ask you a question. The government then, now that you're acting, the government then and now, which one is different?
Well, if you go back then, the government then, because it was a monarchical system of government in that period, and you could see the hegemony or
Togetherness?
Togetherness. Mm. When the king says this is
what he wants,
that's what everybody follows. And it's always to the interest of the people than the interest of the outsiders. So you always see the outsiders trying to force their way. Their body. And if you refuse, they find another means of trying to buy you, show you something you've never seen before.
So what should Nigeria show us now that we have never seen before?
Nigeria don't show us. Everybody, they see shady, but we will break out of it. It's like he said, it's not for us to fold our hands and be waiting for God to come down. God has given us the capacity and the ability to do all the things we need to do. It's just our inner
alignment,
spoken fear that within us, that if you do this, if not even it's spoken, because they threaten you all the time, you talk to the police, the enforcers are always on the side of the government, so you don't know which way to go.
That's my song. That's the song I was about to wrap up with. But let me hear from you, being the chief, acting the chief. How's that been like for you? Okay. Nice. You are Yoruba now?
Yeah.
Okay, I've entered Benin. We are not far from each other. Yeah, continue.
So this is taking me.
Mm.
So